Hello, everyone, and welcome to Patriot Underground. Today is May 20th, 2022. Thank you so much for joining me, folks, to discover the truth beneath the surface. I really do appreciate everyone taking the time to listen. So today, I'm going to be doing a deep dive. I've actually been recently getting acquainted with the work of David Strait, and I'm sure most of my audience is very well aware of who David is. I'm going to be doing a deep dive on one of his presentations that I came across recently. And of course, he's become increasingly well known as the Great Awakening unfolds, specifically because of his seminars on becoming an American state national, one of which I shared on Telegram just a couple days ago. Now, in David's presentation, which is over 2 hours long, he provides a treasure trove of information that I'm going to be discussing today because so much of it was new to me. And I'm hoping that the audience will benefit from a targeted and condensed discussion of the concepts that he presents, because this information is absolutely vital to process and to understand. Now, just so folks know, at this point in time, I am a dead corporate vessel in the eyes of the cabal masquerading as our government. And unless you're one of the 2.5 million, roughly, American state nationals in the United States of America, then you are too. You see, most people think that they're free, but of course, we understand and discuss all the time that we're not, right? Well, let me tell you, until you begin to understand the complexity of admiralty law and how to circumvent being railroaded by the system, you really have absolutely no idea how much of a slave you really are. Now, throughout this journey together, we framed this war in many different ways, and we've discussed how others have defined it as well. Now, David Strait, he frames the battle as we the people versus the Bar Association, as an extension of the expression of the conflict between good and evil. And yet another way we can understand it, under the umbrella of the legal system imposed on us, is the struggle to reassert common law and to abandon the admiralty law fraud-based system which we were born into. And our birth is quite a significant element in that discussion, but we're going to get into that a little bit later. Now, under the original Constitution, we were a republic governed by common law. And under common law, you are inherently free and your rights are unalienable, which most of us have traditionally understood to mean they can't be taken away by the government, which is true. But it also means more specifically that our rights are unalienable in the sense that no lien or debt can be placed or held against them to deprive us of our rights, because our rights come from God. So then how is it that we keep having our rights violated and our freedoms eroded day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, decade after decade? Or as David puts it, how did we arrive at a system where a small group of men could write down rules and hold me, a man, accountable? Folks, it's because we don't live under the original Constitution and therefore under common law. We live and we operate under admiralty law, which was established by the hijacking of our original Constitution in 1871 with the Act of England, which I discussed in detail in my last couple episodes. And this treasonous action by our government had such disastrous effects on freedom and our way of life that most of us don't even know the half of it. And that's a big part of why I'm delving into this topic. So to understand the basics of freedom, one must understand the law, and more specifically, where it comes from. In Genesis, God gave man dominion over the air, the land, and the water. And hence, three types of law were conceptually born when man was created. And God gave us dominion over the earth and everything in it. Now, the first branch of the law established by our Creator is the law of the air. This is the highest form of law, ecclesiastical. And this evolved into what is known as trust law, which is defined as all things held in trust for the benefit of another, or in this case, for future generations. So the way that David describes Genesis 1:26 to 2:25 is a trust indenture. God put the world under the trust of man. God is the executor. We are the trustees. He placed the air in trust for us to manage for future generations. And this means that man was commanded to be a good steward of God's gift of life, which means to uphold his commandments and to pass on his word and the earth, the air, to future generations as beneficiaries. So the law of the air governs the realm of the spiritual and entrusts man to manage the air for generations to come. The beneficiaries of this trust, which lives on in perpetuity. Now, the second branch of the law is the land, or what we refer to as common law, which deals with individual and property rights and asserts that these are indeed unalienable, as previously mentioned. So this common law was derived from the dominion God gave man over the land, And it was his intended blueprint for the legal constitutions that would govern the nations of the earth. And while most operate under the assumption that our legal code is based on common law, the truth is that our system was adopted to subvert common law. Which brings us to the third branch of the law, which is the law of the water, or more commonly known as admiralty law, which, like the other two branches, is derived from man's dominion as gifted by God, but was weaponized by the enemy against the people, as you soon come to discover upon doing a bit of research. Now, the law of the water, or admiralty law, deals with commerce and contracts and was adopted to subvert the original constitution based on common law when the cabal was able to push through the Treasonous Act of England in 1871. And with this legislation, the days of the United States of America as a constitutional republic were over. Or perhaps I should say suspended for a very long period of time until Trump was elected. More about that later. Now, because admiralty law deals with contracts, the cabal sought to establish a system in which the land would be governed by a system of complex contracts between corporations. Traditionally, contracts had always been made between men, where the full and honest disclosure of the terms were mutually agreed upon. But once the concept of incorporation was invented as a means of limiting individual liability, the whole notion of integrity in contracts between men was abandoned. And now groups of men could conspire against the individual and operate their contract system as a method of consolidating power by taking advantage of others. But the initial problem for the cabal with this system of corporate contracts was that a contract must be made between like parties, i.e. man to man. And because they sought to railroad us with this corporate trap, that necessitated the transformation of men and women into commodities at birth. Or more specifically, the process of stripping away our status as a living soul and replacing it with a corporation to represent the individual. And once the individual became a corporation, other corporations masquerading as the government could then enter into contracts with people. And people and persons are actual legal terms. We're going to get into that in a little while. So in essence, the cabal created a way to hijack common law, which the original Constitution adheres to, with admiralty law, by corporatizing the government and creating a vessel to represent us as citizens, people, or residents. Now, because contracts must be between like parties, as previously stated, the cabal created a trick that virtually everyone acquiesces to and therefore tacitly agrees to by virtue of our parents signing our birth certificate. With this action, they legally created an incorporated vessel which replaced you as a living soul and consequently stripped you of your freedom and your rights and your diplomatic immunity without your knowledge. That's right. A vessel was created in the law to establish individuals, previously men and women, as corporations. Or perhaps a more apt way of saying it is as a sub-corporation, subservient to the state incorporated, which is subservient to the Corporation of Washington, D.C., which serves the Crown Corporation owned by the Vatican. So it's important to understand that this whole tyrannical system of fraud was set up by attorneys. And that really begs the question, well, okay, what is an attorney? And who do they work for? Because they've been the ones who have been responsible for constructing the framework of the Matrix. They've spun the illusion in which we all live, the illusion which leads us to believe that the world is a collection of different entities all working for the advancement and the benefit of humanity. But as we've come to discover, the truth is that the world is, or at least up until very recently, the world was controlled by the cabal. They hid in the shadows, constantly manipulating humanity to follow the path that they've laid down for our destruction. And the architects of this fraud-based tyranny, are attorneys. So again, what is an attorney? Most of us went through our lives believing that they're experts in the law who had the important responsibility of representing us and upholding the integrity of our justice system. How naive. I mean, what a joke. The truth is that lawyers are agents of the crown. Attorneys are agents of the crown corporation to which all other corporations are subsidiaries. And again, all roads lead to the Vatican. In fact, in order to practice law as an attorney, one must pass the bar exam and become a member of the club. And what is the club? The British Accreditation Registry. That's what bar stands for. And it's actually hilarious because when you try to look up what BAR stands for on Google or Wikipedia in legal terms, they tell you, of course, they're going to tell you that what I just told you is a conspiracy theory. And we all know that that means I'm over the target. But for all the sheep out there, they actually are trying to convince them that BAR actually is referring to the physical railing in the courtroom that separates the judge and the lawyers from the general public. It's absolutely amazing. But I mean, you know, I suppose that even if you wanted to believe that attorneys don't work for the Crown Corporation, it's impossible to deny that lawyers have been the architects of the modern world. I mean, you just look at how many of our supposedly elected leaders are attorneys, which wasn't supposed to happen, by the way, under the original Constitution. Or the fact that our world has become increasingly legalistic to the point where nothing gets done unless attorneys have written a contract or have given a policy their stamp of approval. They've created a world in which we all live in fear of the legal system because we don't understand it, which is, of course, by design. People fear what they don't understand. I mean, when you just objectively analyze our educational system, you quickly come to realize the nature of the trap that they've sprung on us, especially once you begin to learn how the fraud works. And as David Strait points out, and many of us have wondered ourselves, how many legal classes did you take in school? Did anyone teach you how to navigate the system? Of course not. Because the system is the control grid, and they don't want you to know how any of that works. They want you to think that you need an attorney to represent you in all of your legal matters, because that's what's in your best interest. They keep us in ignorance about what's practically applicable to our lives, and instead, they teach us a bunch of topics that in most cases, we'll never even encounter once we become adults. And this is all because education is incorporated. And Education Inc. serves the interests of the elite. And in their interests, very clearly stated on the record, they don't want us to know what our rights are. They want us to be ignorant. They want us to never question authority. Oh, and by the way, that defense attorney that you hired to represent your interests in navigating the law, he's not there to help you. And I'm going to talk about that in a few minutes. But you see, the entire system exists as a corporation precisely so that a group of individuals can put others in a subservient position. And of course, they have their foot soldiers out there to enforce these policies. David points out that the police are also incorporated, and they are. Description, their job title really is a policy enforcement revenue collection agent for the Bar Association. They're not law enforcement. They're corporate bylaw enforcement. They're certainly not common law enforcement. In fact, the Supreme Court has well established that ordinances, codes, mandates, rules, statutes, they're not laws. They're corporate bylaws for citizens to follow. And as citizens, we are employees of the corporation. Oh, and by the way, the Supreme Court has also ruled that the police have no obligation to protect you. So that once again underscores the question, what is their real function? Well, they are, like I said, policy enforcement revenue collection agents for the Bar Association. Plain and simple, and the Bar Association is a bank. And in the way, you know, the way that the justice system operates, folks, is different than most people think. It actually is a bank that funds the government. And I'm going to discuss that in some more detail in a few minutes. But you have to understand that the police and the attorneys, even your defense attorney, they don't work for you. And they don't enforce law. They enforce corporate bylaws. And there's a very important difference between those two. Because what most people don't realize, folks, is that our most basic right is self-determination. We have to consent to being governed as a citizen, person, or resident of the United States, Inc., or self-determine as a man or a woman, and therefore a living soul, in order to take dominion over all aspects of our lives, air, land, and water, like we discussed. The three jurisdictions over which God gave us dominion when we were created. And as David points out, the maxim is that which one creates, one controls. Because man and woman were created by God, and God gave us dominion over the air, land, and water, we must reclaim our status as men and women in order to truly regain our jurisdiction over the world and truly regain our freedom. But of course, in order to do that requires one to educate themselves about how the system actually operates hence the discussion we're having right now. And all the patriots out there taking the initiative to learn about this admiralty law system. But the corporation legal system is essentially a banking system, as I just mentioned. And when you're indicted, you're actually being given a bill. You're being brought up on charges related to that bill, that indictment. And once you start learning to David, you quickly begin to realize that words in the context of this admiralty law system are everything. And it's our responsibility to learn these things if we want to be free. Now, the legal definition of a court, you look it up in a legal dictionary, it tells you see bank, see post office. And you look up post office, it says see bank. And isn't it interesting that all legal definitions in this corporate bylaw system seem to lead back to banking in this debt prison matrix that we find ourselves? Folks, most people have no idea the nature of the system that we were born into. We don't even understand that we have an obligation to be aware of how the system works in most cases and to correct the errors of our public servants. That we have a 72-hour right of rescission on all contracts that almost nobody knows about or exercises. He also talks about travel being a fundamental right, not a privilege. And he goes into great detail about why the concept of a driver's license is unconstitutional unless you're involved in commercial transport of some kind or hauling interstate goods. And nevertheless, most folks out there are under the impression that these corporate bylaws are legitimate under the Constitution, not realizing that the original Constitution was subverted until Trump came along and began to restore it, largely through executive order. But now it's up to us to begin to take our state and local governments back by reclaiming dominion over the air, land, and water, by reclaiming our status as men and women that was bestowed upon us by our Creator when we were born. It's time for us to stop being railroaded and to start the process of becoming state nationals in order to fully restore our nation. Because essentially there are two governments, there are two choices that we're facing here. We the citizens of the corporation, or we the people of the United States of America, a constitutional republic. And it's up to us to decide whether or not we want to be free. And honestly, more and more, I'm coming to the realization that nobody's going to come to our rescue if we don't come to our own. We don't stand up. If we don't start holding our public servants accountable for all the emolument violations they've committed over decades and still continue to commit on a daily basis, so far as we know, acting outside their authority, stealing from the public. As long as this goes on, we're going to continue to see the status quo, in my opinion. Because I believe that people need to accept that this is either going to be a government that we claim control over by demanding the dissolution of the corporation and all of its subsidiaries from the federal level all the way down to the local level and by claiming our status and getting our personal affairs in order, or we're going to continue to live under tyranny, pantomime or otherwise. Freedom isn't free. It's not guaranteed. We need to step up, folks. And I believe the white hats are waiting on us. This corrupt system has inverted everything. Words matter. Just take the word citizen, for example. The word citizen in a legal dictionary means municipal servant, which is what the government is supposed to be comprised of. And yet we allow them to define us using the same word. Understand legalese. A citizen, in a practical sense, is defined as a servant of the state. And all of the states are private for-profit corporations, subsidiaries of the crown. So when we allow ourselves to be defined as citizens, we are tacitly acquiescing to the assertion of the state that they own us, that we are property of the state, of the corporation. This is the complete opposite of what the original Constitution established. That we the people are the government, and that those that we elect are our servants. Instead, through fraud at birth, we're defined as dead vessels, wards of the state without any knowledge, and all the while believing that we live in a free country. But as David says, the best slaves are the ones that believe that they're free. But folks, the federal government, every state in the union, as well as virtually every local municipality, is a private for-profit entity with a Dun & Bradstreet number, which is the credit reporting agency for corporations. So in essence, That means that the state that you live in is technically a foreign nation to the incorporated state, which was created by the crown and exists in Washington, D.C. The state of Utah, in all caps, for example, is located at 44 Northwest Avenue, Washington, D.C. You can look up your own state and see for yourself. It's absolutely vital to do your own research. And every local municipality is a subsidiary of that state. And it's also interesting because, you know, governments, once they decided to incorporate, the Supreme Court ruled. And they said that governments had to follow the same rules as any other corporation. But we all know that that's not what actually happens in reality. And the best example of that I could think of, really, I mean, this is what David Strait threw out there. He said, if that's the case, then why is it that a Walmart employee wearing a blue jersey can't come to your house, kick down your door, and steal your kids? It's because the entire system is a fraudulent corporation operating under color of law to deprive us of our rights. And like I said, the police are policy enforcement revenue collection agents of the corporation with a Dun & Bradstreet number. The police are incorporated. And they're enforcing corporate bylaws. They're not enforcing constitutional common law, as is the assumption of most people out there who remain ignorant about this trap. In fact, the terms that we use every single day to describe ourselves are actually legal terms. And David's very keen to point this out, that we are men and women as created and defined by God, but we use terms like citizen, person, and resident to describe ourselves, completely unaware that by doing so, that we are tacitly agreeing to our rights being stripped away as men and women. We've already established the meaning of the word citizen, which is a municipal servant or a slave to the state corporation. And the term person is legally defined as an entity or a vessel. And the term resident means someone who is temporarily in that location to do business. And so even when we write our zip code on a letter, we are communicating to the USPS, which is also a bank, as we'll see, that we are residents of D.C. and that we reside in that state only to do business for the crown. Now, let's talk a little bit about how this trap gets sprung on us at birth, because this is where we lose our status as a living soul. We lose our diplomatic immunity and hence our rights and freedom. And the way David explains it is that virtually all hospitals are defined as foundling locations, which means a location where you can legally abandon a child without any punishment. Police stations, firehouses, churches are the other designated foundling locations. You can just let that sink in for a moment. But you go to the hospital thinking that you're just there to have your baby and then move on with your life, go home and move on with your life. But in their admiralty law system, you've actually gone to the hospital to legally abandon your child to be a ward of the state. So how does this work? Well, the corporate bylaws interpret the birthing process a little bit different than you and I do. Actually, they interpret it as a satanic ritual, as pretty much everything else that they do. And David describes it this way. The baby comes out of the water, tossed through the birth canal, is docked by the dock tender. They take the sole plates, the ink impressions of the baby's feet, and the placenta. And so in essence, they're stealing the baby's soul and sending it out with a tug. So it's assumed dead and lost at sea until if and when it should come back and claim its minor estate. We're going to get into that in a little bit. But under this sick satanic interpretation of the birth procedure, which is performed by a doctor, which means dock tender, not physician, the baby is a vessel once they take the soul plates and the placenta. And then they name the vessel in all caps, indicating the creation of a piece of corporate inventory, property of the state. Now, obviously, the terms and conditions of this contract are never fully and honestly disclosed to us. And we're only told that we're registering our baby with the state for what we consider to be benevolent reasons that will enhance the quality of our baby's life. But the reality is that we are signing as informants, yet another example of a term that most people don't understand in a legal sense. Informant legally means someone who gives someone up to another. So what you're doing when you're signing that birth certificate, you are giving the title and the equity of that child to the state in a legal maneuver called parens patriae, which in Latin means the state is the parent. And again, this is all done without your consent because the full and honest disclosure of the terms of the contract are never withheld, are never disclosed. And so when you register the child with the state as an infant, what happens is they get licensed, bonded, and insured as a corporate vessel. Because again, they consider you a vessel lost at sea once they take the soul plates and the placenta. And then they assign you what's called a SESTA QV number when they create your SESTA QV trust. And this trust is really legally defined as your minor estate, which I mentioned a little while ago. Now, the SESTA QV trust is one that's created under the umbrella of the Public Charitable Trust Act of 1882. And under this act, each individual trust is established through the registration of the child with the state and the birth certificate. And on our birth certificate, which is printed on bonded paper with a bank name on it, is what's called a CUSIP number. Now, a CUSIP number is essentially an investment control number regulated by the SEC. So you are considered an investment when you're born, a bonded and insured corporate commodity, which is actually traded on the stock market. And as we progress through our lives, we are assigned many of these numbers, these CUSIP numbers, in accordance with our education and whatever other accomplishments we have in our lives, which indicate that we are an asset to the corporation. So every time we're assigned one of these new numbers, we actually increase in value. You see, the big deception in this matrix is the idea that we are debtors rather than creditors. And this, of course, is completely consistent with the cabal's inversion of reality. So basically, the way it works is that when we're bonded shortly after our birth by registering this with the state and receiving a birth certificate, the bank goes to the IMF and borrows $1 million and puts it into circulation for every person that's born. In fact, there's a website called gmeiutility.org where you can actually see who's buying and selling your CUSIP numbers, who's trading you the corporate vessel that they created, who's trading that vessel on the stock market. But these CUSIP numbers are essentially treasury bonds that are issued, sold, bundled, and hypothecated on the stock market. And of course, all of this happens while we're in the birth ward. And ward means that you are a ward. You're there to become a ward of the state or a slave, or if you prefer, a corporate commodity. But at birth in the hospital, this is where you are stripped of your status of a man, as a man or a woman, as a living soul, and you are defined as corporate property. Now, all of your CUSIP numbers are attached to your main birth number, which is on your birth certificate, and is tracked by the Department of Fiscal Services to keep track of your life, almost like a balance sheet. And what most people don't realize is that they are worth hundreds of millions of dollars, if not billions in certain cases. And yet, we go through our lives tacitly agreeing that we are debtors as opposed to creditors due to our ignorance of the system. Remember, you are considered a subcorporation. But then when you die, your balance sheet goes through a probate process, which determines essentially how much credit you died with or how much debt. Now, let's just say, because pretty much nobody dies with any debt, let's just say that there's $100 million left over once all of your debts are paid off from your minor estate, which is your SESTA QV trust. That $100 million is going to continue to increase. Now, the government, they can't technically touch that $100 million, but they can certainly skim off the top and use all of the equity that springs from that $100 million and use it to fund the government. And that's exactly what they do. So all of your debts are paid off by you as the creditor, not the debtor, including the loan of $1 million that goes back to the IMF without any interest. Your debt gets wiped out, but your SESTA QV number and your trust lives on in perpetuity, and it's used to fund the government. So because of our collective ignorance of their admiralty law system, they strip us of our status as a living soul. They turn us into a corporate entity. They steal all of our rights. They steal all of our property. They steal all of the equity that we earn throughout our lifetime. And then they turn around and use it to fund their evil system for the next generation. And most people live and die without ever having a clue. And that's why the cabal, they don't give a damn about running up the debt into the trillions, because it's your money. It's not theirs. It's not even tax money. But again, most of us have absolutely no clue that this is happening until now. So what this all means is that anyone born after 1933 is still funding the government, even after they die, because their SustaQV trust continues to grow, and all of that growth is used to fund the government. In fact, the Department of Justice, and I was shocked to find this out, is the largest contributor to the federal budget at $1 trillion per day, taken out of the system, taken out of the SustaQV trust, through the banking system, which is masquerading as a court system and as a post office system. But actually, a major source of this $1 trillion emanates from the court system. Because every time an individual goes to court, a new CUSIP number is created. And most people have absolutely no idea that the courts and the post offices are branches of the cabal banking system. So let's talk about the court system for a second. Upon indictment, an individual gets indicted. Okay, they fill out, someone fills out, I believe it's the court, an SF-273 form from the Department of Fiscal Services. Now, keep in mind, we haven't even been tried at this point. We've just been indicted, and we have already established that an indictment is actually a bill. But we haven't been tried, so therefore, guilt or innocence has not been determined. And by the way, guilt or innocence are commercial terms. So by filling out this form, we're actually beginning the process of liquidating assets in our SustaQV trust. And the funds that are held in trust are then sold off to pay for the legal proceedings. So the money for your court case comes out of your SustaQV trust. And this is an example of how the legal system and the banking system are one and the same. And then on the day of the trial, before there's even a verdict, the SF-274 form is filled out, once again with the Department of Fiscal Services. And that is essentially a performance bond. It notifies the Department of Fiscal Services that this person has been found guilty, which they haven't yet. But that's what the form says. This person has been found guilty and will have to perform. And then SF-275 is filled out, which is a payment form instructing the Department of Fiscal Services to wire money to the court for the penal sum associated with the crime that you've been indicted for. And by the way, all crime is commercial under admiralty law. So the entire presumption of innocence until proven guilty, well, that's a lie. Certainly a lie under admiralty law. In fact, it's just the opposite. Again, when you're indicted, you're being given a bill. That's what an indictment is. If you don't pay the bill, you're brought up on charges. You're tried for those charges. And that's how the system works, unbeknownst to most people. It's also why the elite are able to avoid justice as defined by the people under common law. They buy their way out of trouble. Why? Because they pay the bill. They pay the indictment. And therefore avoid charges. You see how the system works? So each time you're indicted, you're essentially being given a bill that's tallied up based upon what you're being charged for. Each crime or civil offense has a penal sum associated with it that gets pulled out of your SustaQV trust before the case even goes to court. And this is a perfect example of railroading, because we're ignorant collectively of the trappings of this admiralty system, we tacitly agree to our guilt before even having the opportunity to defend ourselves. And then it gets better. The judge gets a net retention fee. The prosecutor gets a fee for each count and actually splits some of that fee, which again comes out of your minor estate, he splits that fee with the defense attorney, which you have to pay out of your own pocket to quote unquote represent you. Which leads us to another very important definition. What is the definition of an attorney? We kind of hinted at this a little while ago. An attorney is an actor to a turn, which means someone using deceit, acting to steal from one and give to another. And in fact, this is why this is one of the four professions that God warned us about, along with doctors, bankers, and organized religion. So you see, folks, it's important to understand that rules, codes, statutes, ordinances, mandates, these aren't laws. They operate under the color of law. In fact, the legal definition of legal, and this really blew my mind, is the undoing of God's law. What's legal is not lawful, and what's lawful is not legal under this admiralty law system. It's complete inversion. And as David points out, the Catholic Church, I mean, they've hidden the sacred texts in the Vatican basement. He's the guy that the government sends when anytime there's something based on religion, he gets sent. And so he was there in the Vatican basement. All these artifacts that we've talked about, he's seen them. All the hidden books that explain exactly what's happening right now, he's personally seen them. So even the cabal knows God's law, which is why they had to create a maneuver through fraud to perpetrate their evil. Because what's legal in their system is the undoing of what's lawful pertaining to God's laws. But as I mentioned before, all crime is commercial. And that means that every penal code has a penal sum attached to it. So the judges, they get paid a net retention. And the Department of Justice collects the money for the federal budget using our CUSIP numbers, pulls the funds from our SESTA QB trust, which is our minor estate. It's all a racket. And in my opinion, it will continue on as a pantomime until people wake up and begin to take their sovereignty back at an individual level, and then at a local level, and then at a state level. And then maybe at that point, the white hats can meet us somewhere in the middle and we can fully restore this republic together. But this isn't going to happen unless people come to understand these truths. Once people come to understand that the court is actually a bank, and that the court clerks are actually bank tellers, and that the federal court buys all the state bonds, which then go on to fund state government, and that the police are not obligated to protect them, and that they're actually there as revenue collection agents for the crown. That's when we're going to begin to reestablish our true freedom. We have to be the ones to do it. We have to do the research, and we have to understand that there are many different statuses accepted by the U.S. government. Not just the parents' parente corporate commodity trap that we're forced into at birth. We need to understand that the entire system functions on the presumption of our status as a citizen, person, or resident. And this government functions on unrebutted assumptions about our status. And, of course, unrebutted clerical errors, which we tacitly acquiesce to by not exercising our rights to rescind these contracts within 72 hours, like I talked about. So we need to wake up to the fact that even our defense attorney railroads us by telling us not to correct statements that are being made against us in court. And David talks about this, that you know, your defense attorney will sit there and whisper into your ear and tell you not to say anything until it's your turn to talk, knowing full well that once that hammer drops, you've allowed every lie that's been said about you to be entered into the record as fact by not actually arguing it. You've acquiesced by remaining silent, and your attorney knew that, and he advised you to do that because he's not really on your side. He has a financial interest in a guilty verdict, as we've established. The entire courtroom proceeding is a satanic ritual, if you want to take it a level deeper. The summons is a seance. It's a satanic ritual where the judge is wearing black robes. They summon you as a dead vessel into court. That's how they legally define you. And you have absolutely no idea when you sheepishly stand up and you call the enemy your honor, that by doing so, you've acquiesced to his jurisdiction over you, to his authority over you, based upon the assumption that he's made about your status as a citizen. But all of this can be reversed once one begins the process of learning how to become a state national. And this is how we take our freedom back. People need to learn the difference between a jury trial and a trial by jury. In a jury trial, the judge can override the jury. But in a trial by jury, he can't. It's the jury alone who decides your fate. We also need to become experts in legalese, so that we can actually understand what's happening in our world, in our system. We can actually have a jury of our peers which by the way is defined as a peer, is defined as somebody who knows you, who knows your character, knows your reputation. And of course, in this admiralty law system, they do just the opposite. They eliminate all of your peers by that definition. Anyone who actually knows you. Why? Because they want to stack the deck against you. They're not on your side. Nobody in that courtroom is on your side. You see, a judge derives their authority based upon your status as a citizen, person, or resident. Their authority is derived from their oath of office and any other requirements by the state, by statute, not law, and by the doctrine of parens parente, which the state is the parent. So, folks, it's absolutely vital for all of us to collectively come together and to learn about the trappings of this system. So hopefully you enjoyed this episode. Please let me know in the comments. Please subscribe to all the different platforms I'm on. Remember, I'm on BitChute, Rumble, and Podbean. Make sure you follow me on Telegram and Truth Social as well. And be sure to check out patriotunderground.shop as a great way to support my work. You can consider also making a monthly pledge on Patreon. And remember, folks, to shop for your monthly essentials with the Patriots. PatriotSwitch.com. And be sure to let them know that Patriot Underground sent you. Folks, this is a great way to strike back at the cabal financially and to reallocate your resources to support those fighting for freedom. And in the end, folks, just like the topic today, it's your choice. You get to choose. It's self-determination. Whether you want to go on supporting the enemy because it's what you've always done and it's what you're used to, or you can choose to be a leader. You can choose to spend your money and think about where you spend your money as a part of the Great Awakening. And you can join the more than 2 million people who have already made the commitment to their values at PatriotSwitch.com. All right, folks, thank you for listening. God bless and Godspeed. I'll be back again soon. Patriot out.